when I work with kids and they start to think about seeing the ball more, the shots actually slow down. Not because they're actually slower, it's because they take the time to actually watch the ball.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show all about the lacrosse goalie. And on this job, it is my job to track down the best goalies, best coaches, best athletes in our sport, interview them, find out what makes them so great. What are some things that they do that you can use in your own lacrosse goalie game? Part of my job as a lacrosse goalie coach is really to follow every other lacrosse goalie coach out there. And I started following Tim Cassie from Focus Lacrosse and was super impressed with the clarity of his videos and just such great information he was putting out and how simple he made the position seem. So I wanted to get him on the podcast and have a conversation about his approach to coaching this position, his background, and tease out some things that you, the listener, can use in your own lacrosse goalie game. And I think that's exactly what we did. So ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this conversation with Focus Lacrosse founder and goalie coach, Tim Cassie. Before we start this episode, I want to read a word from our sponsor, and that is the Lacrosse Goalie Summit. We recently concluded the summit in March, where 13 amazing coaches gave absolutely incredible presentations about how to level up your lacrosse goalie game. We had Coach Jack Runkel talking about communication. We had a mental toughness coach. We had a mindset coach, a mindfulness coach. We had Amber Hill talking about mental health. So many awesome sessions. If you missed the event, you can still get access to these virtual coaching sessions, all the replays. Just go to goaliesummit.com. Liz Hogan gave a great presentation about developing your own lacrosse goalie drills. Alex Reddy, amazing presentation about saving more low shots. So if you want to grab those replays, they're still available. You can get them at goaliesummit.com. Just head over to www.goaliesummit.com. Enjoy the show. Pleasure to welcome to the show, Tim Cassie from Focus Lacrosse. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate being on.
Yeah, of course. Well, I follow pretty much any goalie coach I can see out there on Instagram, and I love the stuff that you're putting out. Very instructional, very clear. I love it. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, no problem at all. It's definitely something I enjoy doing for sure.
Yeah. I'd love to hear the story of how you got started as a goalie.
My brother played lacrosse when I was in middle school. And then I started playing as well, in Virginia. And then I was in eighth grade, I think. Nobody wanted to play goalie, and I didn't really feel like running. So I decided, because there was nobody else doing it, that I would play goalie. And then I just kind of kept doing it. I had always played. I never played goalie in any other sport. I played ice hockey. I played other sports as well, but I never played goalie in it. And I just kept doing it. So it was kind of like, I guess, by accident, really, just because I didn't really feel like running. So
yeah,
it just stuck and I just kept doing it. So it's I've been doing it ever since then. So it's been fun for sure.
That's great. I put out a post a while back. It was like, there's really only three reasons people become goalies, right? I think it was number three, like, just don't like the running. And if I'm being honest with myself, that was a huge draw.
Right.
Being a goalie, right?
Sure. I mean, the other thing that's tough though is it's like, you know, you don't run as much, but obviously then there's the whole factor of just getting plugged with balls, which I didn't take into consideration at the time. So
yeah,
it took a little bit of adjusting, that's for sure.
It did. Did you, like, when you first started out, did you wear any padding or it was just the normal stuff?
No, just the normal stuff. Yeah. There was a guy who coached at the high school that I went to who played goalie at Syracuse, like ages and ages. I think he played with Jim Brown. He was really old, but he just kind of was like, you know, when you play goalie, this is what you do. So I was like, all right, here we go. It seems a little crazy, but I'm in. So
yeah, it's funny. There's that whole old school mindset, like, cause you know, I'm 41. Right. And when we played, yeah, I mean, I didn't wear any pads. You just kind of got used to it. But what do you tell kids you work with these days, the young kids, like, how do you encourage them, when they're getting hit with those balls and they're like, you know what, coach, like, this is not, I'm not feeling it.
Well, for me, it's kind of like, I've had kids that I've worked with in the past who really wanted to play goalie. And, you know, when they got hit with the ball, it was kind of like eye-opening to them, to the point where they were like, you know, I mean, this isn't for me. And I kind of tend to agree. Like, for me, the whole, like, to play goalie, I think long-term, for me, most of it is mental. It's a mental part of it. So if they're afraid of the ball, you know, this takes some encouragement, obviously. But I would tend to side with them on that. You know, I've had more kids try it and not like it because of that. And I just, you know, rather than trying to get them to not be afraid of the ball, because I feel like I've done that too, where I've tried to work with kids to not try to be afraid of the ball. And it just, the time that it takes to get to that point, I feel like is better served for them to try a different position. If they wanted to come back, obviously they could, but I have yet to have worked with a kid who was really afraid of the ball and not really excited about getting hit with it and then wanted to stick it out in the long term.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's certain kids, and usually these tend to be the best goalies, that are just like, are not afraid of the ball. I've had people on the podcast and they're like, yeah, no, I wasn't really afraid of it. And you're like, wow, you are crazy, my man. You are really crazy. I find that like a lot of kids are afraid of the ball at first, but if you can give them that like encouragement, you know what I mean? Like when they get hit in the leg and you're like, yeah, great save, you know, like that can help them get over the hump. Have you seen that as well?
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. When I work with kids, whether it's high school age or college kids or even youth kids, I use tennis balls all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I played goalie. So it's like, you know, when you're in practice, depending on who's your coach, like some people just, there are coaches that I've seen and kids that I work with who get stepped down from like 6 yards every day of practice. So I'm like,
yeah,
you know, tennis balls is where it's at. And so what I try to do with the tennis balls to the same degree about the fear part of it is just to be able to shoot the ball at them at a pace that makes them feel uncomfortable, but then realize like it's not as bad as they think. And so when they get hit with the tennis balls, it kind of warms them up into the whole lacrosse ball part of it. But the encouragement and being positive about the whole experience, I think obviously makes the whole situation better for them for sure.
Yeah, definitely tennis balls. Highly agree with that. There was a coach that was like demoing some drills and he wasn't a goalie, but he was like, had all these, they're really good drills. And I'm like, I can tell you're not a goalie. And he's like, why is that? Cause like there's this one drill, like he just scattered all these balls, like, you know, right in front of the crease, five yards away and people pick them up and shoot them. So it's just kind of a rapid fire, like in close drill. And the goalies were just like, punk, punk, punk,
right.
You know, just taking so many hits. And I mean, there's no reason to use lacrosse balls in that drill. Just use tennis balls.
Right. Absolutely. The other thing I tell them too is when they get hit, and it sounds crazy, is to take your finger and push on the spot as hard as you can. And it's going to hurt obviously in the short term, but then after that, that'll be the worst pain you feel in that particular location for the whole time. So when you push on it as hard as you can, and I don't know if there's science behind that, but it seems to have worked for me. And every time I do it, maybe it's more of like a mental thing, but it seems to work pretty well for them when they do it.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. You've coached quite a few goalies. You, before we hit record, you were talking about, you know, in addition to playing, you had some high school coaching. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your history or your career of coaching goalies.
So in college and throughout college, I used to work summer camps all over the East Coast. So, you know, I would help coach Princeton's lacrosse camp and Trevor Tierney was there. The Naval Academy camp, which I think at that time we did, it was like 2 weeks straight of lacrosse. And they had a guy there, Ray Finnegan, who was a big time goalie coach. And then I helped build Pilots Goalie School a bunch of different times. So early on, I really started enjoying coaching lacrosse while I was still playing it. And so I just tried to put myself around as many people as possible to try to learn as much as I could. Early on, to try to help, you know, get more knowledge for myself personally as a goalie, but then also to help, you know, impart more wisdom or to try to teach it in a more efficient way. So all those three of those people, obviously very good at what they did. and do. So it was very helpful for me to kind of figure out how to be a better goalie coach.
Yeah, that's interesting. Would you say that, I mean, those are, you know, Trevor Tierney, Ray Finnegan, who, by the way, his kid, Colin Finnegan, came in that national championship game when Matt Russell broke his collarbone. I don't know if you know that. Yeah. So that name rings a bell. Anyway, so him, Bill Pilot, obviously has coached more goalies on the planet. He's been doing his camp for years and it's grown, but would you say that, you know, the way you coach, the way you think about the position is kind of like you learned something from each of those guys and incorporated it into your own style?
Yeah, for sure. I think the thing early on, you know, it's very similar to kind of, I think, the mainstream of how people coach goalies, you know, very similar, you know, language and things like that. When I moved out here, I started coaching with GW Mix, who coached at Penn, coached at Franklin and Marshall. He was the GM of the Riptide. And the Corona Del Mar program in Orange County in California has been one of the more successful programs in the area. And he kind of changed my thought process on a lot of it, actually. So where I took some of the stuff that I learned from when I was younger, as I kept doing it more and more and started coaching out here, he kind of opened my eyes to a simpler way of kind of doing it, which is literally just seeing the ball and kind of figuring out how to make that as easy as possible to communicate to other people. And that from that point on, I took that other stuff, but then also, you know, learning from him and getting more information from him about it was really eye-opening for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because I read that on your page, see the ball, save the ball. And I love it because it's so simple. Like, we're lacrosse goalie coaches and like we're breaking down things and trying to teach different techniques. But at a certain moment, like, it's just too much. like let's get back to the basics and just see the ball, save the ball. Is that kind of what you're getting at with that quote?
100%. Like, in the past, I can remember talking to kids and being like, well, you know, you've got a hitch in your step, or you've got a hitch in your hands, or, you know, your the way you're stepping to the ball is you can do X, Y, and Z. Now, when I do it, it's all of that stuff is tailored on these are the things that you can do to best maximize your ability to see the ball. But at the end of the day, you know, there are people that play goalie who see the ball, who have weird stances, awkward stances, and it just works for them. So it's like, you can do it to some degree, but at the end of the day, I think the most important thing is to see the ball. And by doing that, I think it eliminates a lot of the other, the overthinking, I think, that would happen when playing goalie. Because for me, the more I've learned about it and the more that I continue to coach, which I, you know, I'm always coming up with new drills and things like that. Even just today, I did some stuff this morning and I, you know, thinking about new drills and tailoring it to the goalies that I work with. But it's literally, for me, the easiest way to explain it. And I feel like it creates the most, I've seen a lot of success from the goalies that to be able to do that stuff on their own and not be relying on working with goalie coaches, because they can figure out on their own, how do I, instead of worrying about all these things that don't matter, how can I just worry about seeing the ball for as many shots as I can, kind of thing.
Yeah. How do you, is there a specific way that you coach being able to see the ball better?
The biggest thing is patience. Cause I feel like a lot of the way that people talk about playing goalie, it's almost like we've got no chance, you know, whether it's inside shots and they're supposed to score or step down shots. And for me, it's all about how you interpret it. And so I do a lot of research on my own, like, about, you know, mental training and things like that and mindsets and things like that to kind of tailor that into how I coach goalies. But I think that changing the approach for how you're playing the position in the sense of, you know, instead of thinking that when a guy steps down, you're about to see this missile come at you, going at your own pace rather than letting the shooter dictate the pace. So just because a guy's about to step down from 12 yards, you know, if the more tense you are and the less patient you are and the more you think that you have to fly to the ball as an explode to that ball, I think the more challenging it is to find to see the ball the entire way. And the thing that I've noticed over more than anything else is that when I work with kids and they start to think about seeing the ball more, the shots actually slow down, not because they're actually slower. It's because they take the time to actually watch the ball as opposed to thinking that the shot's coming at them 400 miles per hour. So they've got to like explode like kind of chaotically.
Right.
Or like chaos.
Yeah. Like that you feel like I don't have much time, so I need to go. Right. And then, so then you right. see a lot of just false steps and false movement. Cause like, I got to go and I go this way, but now the ball was actually over here. And that, you know, that shows that they never really saw it. Right. So yeah, I love that. Love that quite a bit.
The other thing too, that's been really helpful in explaining that process is like, if you and I were going to be throwing a baseball with each other and I was to catch a baseball the way that lacrosse goalies try to save the ball, what would that look like? So instead of attacking the ball, I try to frame it as more of a catch and just that process of thinking about it as opposed to exploding to it or punching at it, instead thinking about catching it, I feel like slows the process of saving the ball down and makes that much more manageable, as opposed to, again, this big, like overwhelming, like I'm going to get scored on all the time, or they're supposed to score on me all the time, instead making it more manageable so you can process it in a better way.
That is kind of interesting. And then like the whole save process is a lot more relaxed, right? So like instead of like, like making a save like that, it's just kind of like, you know, like that's how you catch a softball or a baseball, right? Like it's just super, super relaxed and moving your body in front.
Right.
Interesting. Do you watch a lot of college lacrosse? Do you see like some good examples of guys that are doing that these days?
Yeah, I do watch a lot of college lacrosse, and I think it's hit or miss. I think it's really challenging to do it consistently, but I think when you see people make saves, you can really tell when they see the ball and when they look really patient. And I think it just depends on the situation. You know, it's whether and the way that I try to approach it when I coach it is that every shot has the same value, because if you put more value on one shot over another, then you're likely to have more stress, or you're going to feel more chaotic to go save that. So a lot of, like, as an example, if you're going to save off stick hip shots, if you think that shot's more challenging, you're going to approach it in a different way than if you do, then you're saving the ball on the stick side. You're not going to give it the same attention, and it's going to be a more challenging save to make. But as far as like looking at kids in college, I think obviously there are tons of great goalies out there, but I think that it's situational. You can tell when guys don't see the ball and when they do.
Yeah.
And when they do see it, it looks really patient and calm and they look collected. So for me, it's about how do you replicate that, as opposed to, like, you know, obviously you're going to sometimes have to make ridiculous saves.
Sure.
How can you replicate simple saves to make your life more to make the position, you know, more manageable?
Yeah. That concept of every shot, you know, is equally valuable. Something I heard a long time ago from a coach, and, you know, I love it. And it kind of, like, to me, influences the way that you're set up, right? In your stance and your positioning, right? You know, a shot to the top corner equally as valuable as a shot to your stick side low, right? So you got to be, when you set up in your stance, you got to be equally as effective as getting to that spot as getting to the, right. to the low spot. So it's interesting that you mentioned that. It's kind of like came back full circle for me.
Yeah. It's interesting to see kids process that in, you know, in the moment, like to be able to explain that to them and just see in a span of 5 minutes, be able to adjust just by thinking differently about how they're approaching a particular shot in a particular area, let's say, and see it in the moment, be able to make that adjustment and just simplify the process. It's like, you know, that mind blowing emoji. It's what it looks like. It's like,
yeah,
because it's literally more times than not, I feel like. And when I do my training, it's mostly one-on-one. I don't like to do big groups, because I feel like when you do a one-on-one or let's say two people at a time, you're able to get into the mindset of each of those goalies, which I think it carries more value than just getting the physical aspects of it done, you know? So I think that when you value each shot the same, you give it all the same attention. So that way you don't let in, like, you know, the easy stick sides. Let's say a shot comes to your hip and you think it's really easy, so you're not going to give it the full attention, as opposed to, like, if the shot is off stick hip, you're going to rush to it and maybe not see the ball. So there's different levels, but if you try to approach it all that same way, like you mentioned, like,
yeah,
I think that the whole process becomes significantly easier.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. It's so mental too. Like you said, if you're thinking about, oh, I'm not very good off stick hip. Right. So then you think the shot's going there and you're like, I got to cheat. I got to go so early. And then you go, and guess what? Now it goes high, and you went low and the shot went high all because in your mind, you're thinking, I'm not as good as that type of save, right? So it's, so a lot of it's up here, right?
Right. And then within those lessons like that, I'll, you know, let's say we're talking specifically about off stick hip saves or off stick low.
Yeah.
You know, and so the thought process from them is centered around making that spot or bending to that spot. And I try to take their mind away from, like, we talk about it, we have a conversation about it, we talk about the best way to do that. But then it's important to go back to just working on seeing the ball, because a lot of times what you'll notice is by just thinking about it and then going back to seeing the ball, they're not even thinking about any of the mechanics part of it. And they do it effortlessly almost every time because they're not worried about all the other things that get in the way. But their process is seeing the ball and then they save the ball, as opposed to what am I doing with my feet, my hands, all the things that don't really, you know, play a role in the moment when you're trying to react quickly. You can have that conversation prior to, but at the end of the day, when you see the ball, you're going to save it.
Yeah, I love it. What are some other, you know, if we're doing a private one-on-one together, what are some other like really key lessons or really important drills that you like to do?
I like to do drills that create lots of tension and create kind of make goalies feel rushed, because I feel like if you're in a one-on-one lesson, you can't simulate what it's like to play in a game, but if you can simulate that feeling of being rushed, that feeling of being tense, you know, whether it's a late game or a close game in the fourth quarter, whatever it may be. So I like to create as much tension and pressure with the kids that I work with, so that when those moments come, they're able to instinctively just react in a more simple way to just find and see the ball. So whether it's limiting how much time they have to react or making them, like the big thing that I like to talk about is balancing your feet. So when your feet are balanced, you're able to move right or left very easily, which makes the process of seeing the ball really easy.
Yeah.
So I like to do drills where they're forcing them to have to move their feet to force them to find the balance, to be able to react quickly to find the ball in a way that's more patient. So I just like to do lots of different drills that, like I said, whether it's step downs with limited amount of time or inside shots that require them to turn. It's not so much about the quick turn part of it, more of just, how can I make them feel as rushed as possible to make them calm down so that they can learn to find the ball when they are rushed and feel tense?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Another thing that a lot of goalies, you know, they feel that tension when there's like a lot of eyes on them. You know what I mean? Like the big game, those big moments. And so anytime, I mean, obviously if you're doing one-on-one, it's tough to recreate that. But like, if you have like a team set up and you can kind of create these little like tense moments where like all eyes are on them, it just helps them like adapt to that situation. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Love it. Any like, unconventional things that you do to train goalies?
When I came to Corona Del Mar High School, GW Mix introduced me to the stick with no mesh, you know, and I use that as much as I can in all aspects of coaching every time, because I think it's the best tool to be able to have goalies not be reliant on catching the ball getting the ball in the mesh and having to literally wash it into their hand. So that's something that I use all the time.
Just like there's like a head with no mesh in there and then they make saves. Yeah. Love it. Love it.
And one thing that's happened recently, this was in the last week and a half, like I used to do that and you know, take a little bit of time for people to get used to doing it. And even the kids that I work with who do it frequently still have trouble with it. So what I've been having them say more recently is to say knuckle every time, and they're watching it to their knuckle. And by just saying the word knuckle, like in the last week that I've been doing that, the amount of the frequency of easier saves has increased substantially. Like and it shows when they go back to using the regular stick, like the amount of attention from the shooter stick to their stick has increased a ton. And the amount of save that they make that look easy and effortless has also increased. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I remember talking to Trevor Tierney and Ryan LaPlante also talked about this as well. And they have like something where when the ball kind of like, they don't say knuckle, they say yes. Call it, right. It's like the yes drill. So, but like, I don't know, there's got to be something there of just, you know, getting your mind like used to saying something and then seeing that shot. Try it out, goalies. Try it out. I love it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm always, it's like throwing stuff at the wall, just trying to see what works and what doesn't work, and I'm constantly adapting. But I think the aspect of And I think when I was doing the Princeton camps a long time ago, I feel like Trevor Tiernan mentioned like a window pane of glasses with squares in them. And then it goes through this, like, I think that's how he explained it. Like it goes through the square. That's how you identify the ball.
Yeah. He has this whole technique. I don't know if he taught this at that camp, but he has this whole technique of like relaxing the eyes.
Right.
Did he talk about that at the camp?
Yeah. I think I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
I'll send you this presentation that he did at one of my goalie summits. You can check it out. I'll send you all the access if you want to check it out. But he talked about like relaxing his eyes and not necessarily like trying to be so locked in on the ball in the shooter's stick. And it was like one of those concepts where like I think it was a little bit over the heads of a lot of the kids, but I could see that.
Sure.
I could see that. I don't know if you can get it. Like there's some science behind it. But yeah, he's got the pane of glass in front of him, and like when the ball hits that pane of glass, you say yes, and then make your save.
I remember listening to that, like listening to him, thinking to myself, like, whoa. But it makes sense for sure. And I think one thing I do too is I like to look at other sports and see how they do it. And I, you know, researching like how hitters see different pitches. And the thing they talk about is the soft focus, hard focus. So like as the pitcher winds up, you look at the pitcher's hand and you're looking at the area of the ball, because nobody can stare down the ball for an extended period of time without losing focus. So you take the strain away, so you're able to stay relaxed by the area of the ball. And then when the ball is released from his hand, then you track it out of the hand as the hard focus, the soft and hard focus. And they've got drills and things like that in baseball that I had no idea were even around, like that are really interesting and kind of really help explain and make that process really easy.
Yeah, I love that. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I also love watching other sports. I have been talking and thinking a lot about tennis because I played tennis in high school, and there's like a lot of goalies. I don't know if you teach this technique, if you've seen it, but they do like what in tennis would be called a split step. Like when the serve's coming, right? It's kind of like just a little hop and you land and then you're ready to go, right? And return the serve. And a lot of goalies, like, you know, especially when they're like moving on the arc, you see nowadays they give themselves like a little tiny hop to kind of like reset that weight. And so I think that's going to be the future of this position, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I do that all the time. Actually, if you look at any of the videos, you see a lot of the kids that I work with do that because I think it's, and I use that exact example when they receive the serve. In one of my videos, I think I talk about that too. When they receive the serve, I call it padding the feet, setting equal balance to be able to move right or left very easily. And that's part of what I mentioned about being balanced. And I think a lot of goalies really struggle, especially if you watch like slowed down clips of goalies making saves. You can literally see when there is imbalance in their feet and making it challenging for them to be able to move, you know, right or left. So by padding those feet, like you mentioned, I think you do two things. You can eliminate the stress and tension in your body that allows you to be able to be calmer when you see the shot, and then also creating that equal balance in your feet to be able to easily move right or left. Because I find that, especially in those in tight shots or in those moments when, let's say, you pick up the ball late, if you're balanced, you're going to be more likely to find the ball than if you are lunging or reaching out for it. So padding those feet like that allows you to, even at the last second, to be able to find the ball.
Yeah. It's really cool watching slow-mo saves of goalies. And you're right. Like a lot of times when they give up goals, it's because like they're not balanced. I was watching one with a girl, like young girl, and you know, the shot was happening. It was a sweep dodge, right? Shot was happening and it was going to her left. So right.
Ooh. Yeah, I got you.
Here
you go.
Oh, you got me. There we go. There we go. Yeah. So here. So she's going to the left, right? So you got to plant the right foot and explode to the left, but her right foot was in the air. Right. So she's moving. So in order to explode that way, you have to then plant that foot and then explode. And that's a fraction of a second, but that's all we get as lacrosse goalies, right? That's all we get. So that's interesting. I'll have to check out some of those videos they have.
To that point too, I think that when obviously we stress positioning as a really important, positioning is really important, but in those situations, like you explained, I think, because if you think about the goal is 6 feet wide. Like in most times, if goalies are in the middle or closer to the pipe, the distance that they have to travel to get to the ball is likely 2 to 3 feet, which isn't very far.
Right.
So in lieu of positioning, if you're not able to be positioned or in position perfectly, I would say that padding the feet and getting balanced allows you to be able to move laterally very easily in that 2 to 3 foot window to be able to get to shots sooner. So I think a lot of times the goalies try to get to the position. And so as a result of getting there, like you mentioned, they're off balance and they can't make the stop. So like I always equate it to speed ladders. If you're or a wide receiver running a route, they're not taking big, long steps. They're taking short, choppy steps in a 6 foot goal, you know. And if you're in the middle of that goal, you're going maybe 2.5 feet, 3 feet at the most. So It's like, for me, it's like in that situation you explained, getting yourself balanced prior to before, or if instead of trying to force yourself to get in the position where in a game situation, you might not be able to, and being balanced, and again, goes back to that ability to be able to calmly find the ball or at least find it, some of it, to get a piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I love that term, padding the feet too, because it is kind of like, if you do that little jump, you like naturally land in an athletic position, ready to go, ready to explode. So Galloway calls that the hop. It's kind of where I got that. He was a big feet mover guy. He would really get those things going. I don't know.
Yeah, and I've seen other people do that too, for sure. Like, you know, I think I saw Kyle Bernlohr do something like that before, where he's kind of bouncing in there.
Yeah.
And the reason I like padding the feet rather than hopping, because I feel like there's a point where if you do it too much, in my opinion, again, but there's a point where if you do it too much, when you land, similar to if you jumped as high as you could, you're going to land with a lot of tension. So that's why for me, padding the feet makes more sense, because it's the process of padding is not as, just the word pad just sounds simpler, I guess, and more calm.
Yeah. And you could do it too, I've seen a lot of goalies just use that little jump, that little hop to kind of like adjust their positioning. So when you get to a certain level and you kind of like have familiarity with the crease, you understand, all right, I'm a little bit off in my positioning. Right. And so instead of like taking the step, I can just boop, do a little hop. Right. And now I land in an athletic position, ready to make a save.
Right.
So love it. So do you, are you doing lessons in the OC area?
I do them in Orange County. There's kids obviously that I work with who are from like Los Angeles and San Diego as well.
Yeah.
I've got family in the Bay Area. So, and I've got some friends of mine who coach up there. So when I go up there, I try to do some things there too. And then my family's still all back east. So when I go back east, I try to do stuff there as well. So, but mostly in the Orange County area, as of right now.
Cool. And if people are interested, should they hit you up on the Instagram? I know you just came out with the email, with a newsletter too. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll start on March 1st. It's going to have a bunch of different information in there just to kind of, you know, kind of reiterate the things that I feel like have worked for me, in helping kids and be able to give people, who don't have the opportunity to work with a goalie coach frequently to give them information to be able to make that process easier. I've got a website too, focus-forcross.com, which has an online platform for that same purpose. It's had a lot of success with some of the people that have used it who aren't goalies to be able to coach goalies. So that's been really helpful as well. I have an Instagram account, just Focus Lacrosse, and try to put as much information out there, again, mostly with the intent of helping people who don't have the ability to get consistent goalie coaching, and for people who don't play goalie to be able to try to learn something about the position to help their goalies out in a way that's very easy and manageable.
Yeah, I love it. Well, that's what I'm all about too, my man. That's what I'm all about with Lax Goalie Rat. So I appreciate you doing that, because I feel like there's a need. There's such a need. And the goalies out there and the parents are really hungry for information. So anybody that can put out good quality stuff, I love it. So keep going and let me know if you need any help with anything.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that very much. Like I said, I appreciate you having me on. Keep going with everything you've got. Obviously, it's very helpful for everybody in the goalie community to have kind of a central source to get information and stuff like that. So it's very helpful.
Yeah, cool. I wanted to ask you a few more questions if we could.
Yeah, for sure.
What about, a lot of times goalies ask me about slumps, you know, like they say, hey coach, I'm going through a slump. When someone tells you that, what advice do you give them?
It depends on the person, and the kind of and how they approach their mentality on things, I think, is a big thing. So I always try to figure out, if most times if they ask me, obviously I already know the information about them, but
yeah,
I try to make the process as simple as possible and try to figure out what it is that's really eating at them. So I find a lot of goalies really care what other people think about them. And so getting scored on is a pretty huge problem if you are worried what other people think about you. So whether it's the kids on your team, the people that you're playing against, or the people that are watching you, I think that that plays a pretty, it's a pretty strong, or it impacts goalies quite a bit. So if in like a situation like that, it's about having them understand that obviously there are multiple people on the field that assume responsibility. It's not all on the goalie. But then the biggest thing I like to do is to communicate about how to mentally prepare yourself. So like, as an example, you're not going to go to a test without going to study for that test. And if you're an attackman or defenseman or midfielder, you can just show up to practice, because defensemen, all they do is whack at people, and attackmen and midfielders just shoot all the time. So they can just do that stuff. But for a goalie, as you're standing there by yourself, like, you've got to prepare yourself mentally. So what I like to have them do is to write out the things that stress them out, and write out the things that, because I heard this on a TED talk before about managing stress. You write out all the things that stress you out to prepare yourself. So in a situation when you're in a slump, let's say, there's generally, it's most times the goalies that I've worked with, the slumps are caused because they're so concerned about what other people think about them, that they're not playing well, not playing up to their ability, a lot of shoulds in there. So I have them write all that information out that's stressing them out, cross out all the things that they can't physically control, and then talk to them about visualizing those moments of feeling that stress, and then and visualizing them overcoming it. So it's like a 3 to 5 minute process, but you can sit there and think, like, you can, because you, most kids, people know what that feeling is. They can, like, the feeling of a coach looking at them and them concerned that the coach thinks they're bad at playing the position, you know, and like that they're letting their team down. So as you visualize it, you know what that feeling is deep down. If you're honest with yourself, like, you know what that feels like when that coach is looking at you and you're assuming that they think that you're terrible at the position. So you visualize that moment, overcoming it by finding the ball and saving the ball easily. And even if you get scored on, you could visualize that as well, where you're visualizing getting scored on and moving forward, and then being successful on the next shot by seeing the ball and saving it and making it simple and taking all that additional stress away from it. So, and we had a great example of that. We had a kid 2 years ago, last season. He had struggled for 2 games. We ended up playing one of the top teams in the country, and he played out of his mind. I think he made like 13 or 14 saves. We won 11-9. And the 2 games before, he struggled quite a bit. And just by doing and talking about those things with him, made a huge change in his attitude and mindset of how he was approaching it. And it was the difference was significantly notable.
Yeah, that's what it is, right? It's mental. I love that answer. I love that everything you just said right there is so powerful. The visualization, so powerful. I mean, those are like actual reps. If you can visualize making saves and visualize going through it, I mean, those are literally as good as reps. So that's super powerful. The other thing, and writing everything down that scares you, also writing things down that, you know, there was a mental game coach, and she talked about kind of like this confidence reservoir. So like writing things down that are positive, right? And so when you're not feeling good, you can go back to that reservoir and review that, and then kind of get back in that positive frame of mind and get out there and attack them. So all mental.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. And I like to send kids clips of them making saves because I try to record as much as possible so they can see, look at these absurd saves that you made when we were working together, or look at these clips of when you played in a game, whatever it is. Like, and it kind of goes back to what I mentioned before, that all saves have the same value. And because I've had worked with so many kids that they get shot on the stick side, let's say, and they save it on the stick side, and after they've gotten scored on a ton, and they come back with, well, it was a shot on the stick side, I should have saved it. It's like, that's not how it works. Like, people get scored on stick side high all the time. Like, you
right.
gotta praise yourself when you have success, and not constantly just be negative, because the goalie position will beat you down because I feel like it's the hardest position in any sport, because it's like, you're expected to let in almost half the shots that you see. So it's like, you gotta praise yourself on everything. So if you get a piece of it, you praise yourself for that. You're happy about that. Not like, you know, instead of just like, oh, stick side high, I should have saved it. Like,
right.
So many goals get scored on stick side high. Like,
I know.
Happy that you just saved it.
Exactly. Exactly. 100% agree with you on that one. Or anytime you get hit like on the shoulder and they go, oh, that's a lucky save. No, that's not a lucky save. No such thing. Right. You're in the right position, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What other mental game exercises do you use to teach, or do you teach goalies?
I think the visualization piece is important. The preparation aspect of like understanding, you know, where you, like for me, again, about tension and stress and feeling rushed, and understanding, trying to teach those kids where those things occur when they play and what causes them, so that they can really attack them. And I'm just all about trying to figure out, when I work with kids, what it is that's eating at them, so that they can figure out on their own, because nobody's going to be in the goal with them to be able to conquer that. So it's, for me, it's just about having them to understand that like you're going to struggle and you're going to have failures, but it's more important to, instead of shying away from those failures and the stresses, to like step into them. So from the mental aspect of it, it's like, how do I try to teach them that like when things get uncomfortable, like that's when we got to lean in on it and really focus on that stuff to be able to move forward and get past it. So it's not a constant struggle. And I find that everybody's different. Obviously some kids take longer than others, but being able to be on and have them be honest with themselves about what it is that's eating at them. Cause again, at high school, middle school kids, it's not easy for them to figure that out or be willing to share that information. So again, for me, sometimes I feel like I'm like a therapist or something when I do those one-on-one lessons, and it's more about how you conquer their own fears and conquer your own insecurities or worries about the position to be able to play at your best and just be relaxed, I think is the biggest thing.
I love it. Coach Tim, goalie coach / therapist.
I don't know about that.
Hey, it's better than sitting on the couch. You're out there playing lacrosse, you know?
I know. Well, it's a nice break. It's a nice break from my real job, so it works.
There you go. What do you do for a real job?
I work in residential real estate.
Okay. So if we got an overlap here, lacrosse goalies / need of real estate in the OC.
Right. There you go. I'm your guy.
You're your guy. All right. Tim, this is tons of fun. Thank you so much for coming on. I'll link up to all of the socials and the website. I can't wait for that newsletter. I'm on there. Can't wait to check out the stuff. Once again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your goalie knowledge.
Yeah, man. Keep doing what you're doing also. It's great.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode. That was Focus Lacrosse founder and goalie coach Tim Cassie. Awesome, awesome stuff. I thought, really thinks about the position in a simple way. See the ball, save the ball. You know, as much as we talk about and think about lacrosse goalie, as I mentioned in that episode, a lot of times we overcomplicate it, right? Some of the best goalies are just the attackmen that jump in there in their very first time. See the ball, save the ball. Love it so much. Do yourself a favor and head over to focus-lacrosse.com. And I think it's .com. Yeah, focus-lacrosse.com. And get signed up for Tim's newsletter. I'm on there. He drops tips. Give him a follow at Focus Lacrosse on Instagram for the awesome videos that he puts out, and shoot him a message. Tell him you listened to this podcast and you learned a thing or two from what he said. All right, that'll do it this week. If you made it to the end of the episode, thank you so much for listening. You guys are the best. I really enjoy talking about lacrosse goalie and interacting with you. So shoot me a message. If you can, always leave. If you haven't done so, please leave a nice review on this podcast. Helps get the word out. All right. We are mid-April. A lot of lacrosse seasons are starting. Some are already underway. Regardless of what situation you are in, get out there, get some work in, do well, be well. Coach Damon, take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.